Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, The Dynasty of Angshuman, Text Number 30. Soyam Brahmarshi Varyaste Rajarshi Pravarad Vibho Katam Arhati Dharma Gya Vadam Pitor Ivat Maja Sa He the Brahmana I am this Brahma Rishi Varya not only a Brahmana but the best of great sages or Brahmanas Brahmarshis sorry Te also from you. Raja Rishi Pravarati Rat Pravarat. Who are the best of all saintly kings or Rajarshis? Vibho, O Master of the State. Katam, how? Arhati, he deserves. Dharmagya, O you who are quite aware of religious principles. Vadam, killing. Pitu, from the father. Eva, like. Atmaja, the son. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, you are completely aware of the religious principles. As a son never deserves to be killed by his father, here is a Brahmana who should be protected by the king and never killed. How does he deserve to be killed by a Rajarshi like you? Purport. The word Rajarshi refers to a king who behaves like a Rishi or a sage. Such a king is also called Naradeva, because he is considered a representative of the Supreme Lord, because his duty is to rule the kingdom to maintain Brahminical culture. He never desires to kill a Brahmana. Generally, a Brahmana, woman, child, old man, or cow is never regarded as punishable. Thus, the wife of the Brahmana requested the king to refrain from this sinful act. Next text. You are well aware and worshipped in learned circles. How dare you kill this Brahmana, who is saintly, sinless person, well-versed in Vedic knowledge. Killing him would be like destroying the embryo within the womb or killing a cow. Purport. As stated in the Amara Kosha Dictionary, Bruner Bake Balagarabe. The word Bruna refers to either to the cow or to the living entity in embryo. According to the Vedic culture, destroying the undeveloped embryo of the soul in the womb is as sinful as killing a cow or a Brahmana. In the embryo, the living entities present in an undeveloped stage. The modern scientific theory that life is a combination of chemicals is nonsense. Scientists cannot manufacture living beings, even like those born from eggs. The idea that scientists can develop a chemical situation resembling that of an egg and bring life from it is nonsensical. The theory that a chemical combination can have life may be accepted, but these rascals cannot create such a combination. This verse refers to Brunasya Vadam, the killing of a Bruna or destruction of the embryo. Here is a challenge in the Vedic literature. The crude atheistic understanding that the living entity is a combination matter belongs to the grossest ignorance. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains why people act wrongly in this world. Namely, to start with that verse, Trividam narakasya idam dwaram nashitam atmanaha kama krodha tata lobas tasmat etam trayam chaya. There are three gates leading to this hell, namely lust, anger, and greed. Every sane person should become free from them because they lead to the degradation of the self. Etan vimukta kontiya tamo drastravinara atra yamana shayas tato yiti paramgati. Then anyone who becomes free from these three gates performs activities which are conducive to self-realization, and thus he gradually attains the supreme destination. Yakshasravidim utsrija vartite kamakarata nisasidim avapnoti nasukam na paramgati. Yakshasravidim utsrija. That one who gives up shastra and works according to his whim, and whim, of course, has been defined as lust, anger, greed, all under the spell of illusion and forgetfulness and loss and material intelligence, can have neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. So since everyone is actually working for peace and happiness, and ultimately they want to get the best destination possible, but if we give up shastra and we are whimsically, according to lust, anger, and greed, etc., we can never find either peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vyavastito kyatva shastra vidanoktam karma kartam yaharasi. That one should know what is duty and what is not duty by the directions of scripture, and knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that one can gradually become purified. So we should have to follow shastra. And what does shastra say according to Krishna, who is the original speaker of shastra? Yomam ajamada anadim cha veti loka maheshvaram asamudo samarteshu sarapapai pramuchate. That's the wrong verse. Yomam evam asamudo janati purushottama sasarvavit pajante imam sarabhavena bharata. That this is the most confidential part of all the Vedic scriptures. Is that right? Yomam evam. One who understands this without doubting is said to be the knower of everything. And therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. Yomam evam asamudo, without doubt. Janati purushottama. Anyone who knows Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service of this period. Iti guyatama shastram idam yuktva mayanaga etam budva buddhimatvam buddhimatsyad krita kritascha bharata. This is the most confidential part of all the Vedic scriptures, that anyone who knows this will become wise and his endeavors will know perfection. In other words, minimum, we have to find out what is our duty and what is not our duty. Now, all duties come from Krishna, but Krishna gives different duties according to one's capacity to perform that duty. Not everyone's willing or able to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and work as Krishna's servant, recognizing everything here belongs to Krishna. Everyone belongs to Krishna. And everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. It's not enough to acknowledge everything belongs to Krishna. We have to utilize it practically for Krishna. And then we have to utilize it. When we're utilizing it, if we want to get the maximum benefit from the activity, we should do it to please Krishna. So that's the most confidential part of Vedic knowledge, but people may take it step by step. They may not be willing to. They don't know Krishna. They don't accept Krishna. Therefore, at least if they perform karma yoga, acknowledging that nothing belongs to them, they can make some progress towards the ultimate goal. And after performing karma yoga for some time and having more or less of an agitated mind, one can actually hear. Hear means we can actually hear in such a way as that our intelligence is not, we're using our intelligence when we're hearing, logical speaking. We can hear, but if we're not hearing with our intelligence, then we're hearing with our minds. We're interpreting what we're hearing according to how it's going to satisfy our senses, gross or subtle. But to hear with our intelligence means that we're actually hearing. It's called jnana. And what is that hearing? That hearing was not only accept everything belongs to Krishna, but we should actually utilize things in Krishna's service. So that's called knowledge. How to utilize things properly in Krishna's service is called jnana, hearing from Krishna's representatives. That's called jnana yoga. Trying to make some improvement towards liberation. In karma yoga, one is hearing just enough and applying it just enough to have a more comfortable life. One wants to have, and even that, we're not so expert at, but even if that would help us too, if we could actually take that seriously. For instance, if we hear how to have a more comfortable life, and we get the Siddhanta for that. And what is the Siddhanta? It's so simple. Chew the food that we're eating. My God, it's too complicated. I don't have time to chew. It's too subtle. And try to live a regulated life. For instance, don't follow the dictation of the senses. Try to eat, sleep, etc. according to a regulated schedule. And especially eating, we should eat prasadam and chew the prasadam, and we should not eat more than we can digest. So this is very profound material knowledge that most people don't take very seriously. It's too subtle for them. Don't eat more than you can digest and chew the food till you have something to digest. And then we can talk about eating the right food for don't eat enough, just only eat chocolate enough so that you can digest it. And you're eating chocolate, you're chewing it very thoroughly, and you're digesting and you're eating just enough to digest. But after all, it's chocolate. And the effect will still not be ideal, although it would be better than eating other things and not chewing it and eating too much or too little. So there are subtleties of how to eat. Atihara priyasischa prajalpanimagraha. So Sri Rupa Goswami says that there are different reasons why we fall down from our spiritual consciousness. And the first one is atihara, eating too much or eating too little. Takshi Krishna namadi na bravet grayam indriyai. Sevan mukhehi jivado swayam evas pratya. That self-realization begins with the tongue. We may be imagining ourselves to be gopis in Vrindavan or cowherd boys, whatever we may imagine, but first thing we should do is try to control our tongue. Then maybe our minds will be controlled. Or as Vishnu Dharmaraj once asked Prabhupada, when I chant Hare Krishna, I see all these lights around me. So Prabhupada's answer was, keep on chanting and they'll go away. So this imaginative how what we think we're at. If we can actually sit down and take prasadam with some respect, actually look at the prasadam and not think, well, it's on my plate, so I'm too lazy to take it off my plate. It's too far away. I'm too hungry. Although it's twice as much as I can actually eat, but I have to surrender because it's prasadam. Besides that, I know of a good place I can crawl into and sleep for a while and meditate on the prasadam in my sleep. No, we should be reasonable how much we can eat. We should actually honor the prasadam by chewing it and remembering Krishna while we're eating it. We're not supposed to eat like animals. You know, you're up there, I'm down here, let's eat. No, we should honor prasadam and remember Krishna when we're taking prasadam. Otherwise, we're eating like an animal. How many times do we think an animal is remembering Krishna when it's eating? What's the difference between ourselves and an animal if we're eating, if we're not doing it in Krishna consciousness? I imagine that most animals at least chew their food, and unless they're a domesticated animal like a dog, they usually don't eat more than required. So the difference between a human being and an animal is a human being can remember Krishna, that this is Krishna's mercy. And therefore he doesn't become distracted by sense gratification and remains in Krishna consciousness. So this is just karma yoga. We're not even talking about jnana yoga. Of course it has an element of jnana yoga, but it's on the material platform. In one sense, if we're eating what's required, how much is required, and we're eating, we're actually chewing the food. And even if we're remembering Krishna during the food, still jnana yoga means to, well, understand, okay, that's an element of jnana yoga when we start remembering Krishna also. So it's a little bit more deep. In any case, we'll live a happy life if we chew our food and we don't eat more than required. There are other things also. Drink fresh water, clean air, nice relationships. So this is karma yoga. And then jnana yoga, that this food is coming from Krishna, it's his mercy. I'm not this body, I should take the food and utilize the energy in Krishna's service. This is jnana yoga for self-realization, to get out of the material concept of life, not to become more deeply involved in it. And then, of course, there is bhakti yoga, that one is actually relishing the prasadam and appreciating how kind Krishna is to give it to me, eating with some feeling, some appreciation of not only Krishna, but his servants who have brought me this prasadam, who are cooking the prasadam, those who have cultivated the prasadam and brought some feeling of respect and appreciation for the opportunity. Then we'll have something to talk about, to use our tongue. If we're careful in how we eat, we'll probably be more careful how we speak. And if we're careful how we speak, then we'll probably be more careful how we eat. If we start using our intelligence rather than try to gratify our mental concoctions by speaking whatever comes to our mind, then it's more likely we'll take it seriously when we have to eat. Because if we eat too much, atihara, then there'll be over-endeavor in some way. And then there'll be priyasis. And then there'll be prajalpa. We'll talk about all the problems I have and all the people who are causing it. Everyone except for me is causing my problems. So this is just karma yoga, jnana yoga, and then ultimately bhakti yoga. Appreciate that the ultimate goal is to please Krishna. Now here is explained in this particular purport in the verse, people who are not even aware of the fact that they're not their body. In the grossest ignorance. Therefore they're killing even the children in the womb, claiming that there is no life of the child. So such people we should not associate with in any way. Their association is useless. And for the most part, their opinions are also useless because they're in the grossest ignorance. Their whole viewpoint of the world is distorted by ignorance. And so there's a class of people who are against killing children in the womb, but they don't mind killing cows and other animals. So they're also in the grossest ignorance. And there are others who don't mind. Very rarely do you find anyone who doesn't want to kill the cow or the embryo in the womb, but they want to kill Brahminical culture. They may not want to kill Brahmins, but they want to kill Brahminical, and therefore they should also be avoided, because they're also in ignorance. However, it may make a guise of knowledge, but their knowledge has been stolen by illusion. So those who are at least helping us come to the mode of goodness by the process of devotional service should be associated with and heard from and followed But even above that is those who are actually in the platform of Krishna consciousness, who have transcended mamachayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samititayatan brahma bhuyaga kapute. So their example includes all the other examples. They understand the eternality of the soul, the existence of the soul in the womb of the baby, the soul in the cow. They understand the value of Brahminical culture. But at the same time, they know that ultimately everything is achieved by unalloyed devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances. But anyone who doesn't know about the soul in the womb, who supports abortion, who supports cow killing, or supports the destruction of Brahminical culture, then they whatever claim they make, or others may claim about their transcendence, is ludicrous. They have not even come to the mode of goodness. Just like it's a claim that I can fly from here to Belgium without going to the airport. How can you fly from here to Brussels unless you go to the airport? Do we actually imagine that someone can go on the roof of their house and catch the airplane from their roof? So how do we actually come to the mode of goodness? How do we come to the transcendence unless we first come to the mode of goodness? So unless we come to the mode of goodness, how do we take off for transcendence? It's not possible. It's just an imagination. People may claim that this is a transcendental personality, but if they don't support, if they don't even understand what Brahminical culture is and support it, they don't know about especially cleanliness, and they have no faith in the words of Krishna and his representatives, then such a person cannot help us transcend. They may help us wash our hands before we eat, hopefully. They may help us appreciate that we shouldn't kill animals and we shouldn't kill children, but they don't mind killing Brahminical culture, and therefore we should avoid their association. And what to speak of the modern day internet, which is a minefield of all kinds of concocted ideas coming from all kinds of people on all levels of ignorance and passion, with very little goodness. Even they talk about truth, usually they have no idea what the truth is. All they can do is point out how everyone else is a fool and liar, but they don't realize that they also fit into those categories, however nice they may seem. So the purport is that we have to study Prabhupada's books. We have to practice Krishna consciousness, and then things should become simple, that if we try to please Krishna and his representatives, then Krishna will be pleased with us and will make spiritual advancement. And if we don't know who Krishna is, we don't know who his representatives are, we have no discrimination, then it's going to be hit and miss. And sometimes we'll please the right person in the wrong way, or we'll please the right person, or try to please the right person the wrong way, and sometimes we'll please the wrong person in the right way. In any case, we'll get into trouble. So we have to develop the intelligence, how to discriminate who is actually representative of Krishna, how they're representing Krishna, how we should follow what they're doing in relationship to Krishna, and whose instructions we should follow that will actually give us, help clarity of all the above. Give us clarity so that we can actually know what Krishna wants and what Krishna doesn't want, and how to do things in such a way as to please Krishna and his representatives so that we actually make spiritual advancement. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Interesting here, what he's probably going to say here. Before. Oh, Prabhupada goes over Dharmam, Tusakshat, Bhagavat, Pranitam. that only Krishna can create the laws of nature, the instructions, dharma, religiosity. And then Prabhupada says that therefore, mental speculation, dry arguments cannot help one on the path of self-realization. One should ignore independence by studying books and one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted as like a menial, should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is a secret advancement in spiritual life. It goes on. So at least we should learn these purports, actually. Otherwise we're blind. We don't understand dharma. The goal is to find out what religion is. It comes from Krishna. Krishna has... We're going to find out what actually dharma is, not by dry arguments or studying speculative books or so-called philosophers. It has to come from an actual representative of Krishna. And if we find a representative of Krishna, then we have to serve him like a spirit, like a menial servant, without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. And then Prabhupada goes on. It's not the end of the purport. But we should know these things. Otherwise, we do things whimsically. Out of sentiment, and that sentiment doesn't last that long. As soon as we're a little, there's some obstacle in our sense gratification, in our false prestige, whatever, then we become angry and we give up our service because it doesn't satisfy our senses. So we have to be careful that we understand these things carefully so that if we have this knowledge that there is dharma and Krishna has given it and that there is a disciple succession coming from Krishna and that disciple succession is not based upon dry speculative arguments, nor independent study of books, nor different so-called philosophers. That knowledge is coming from Krishna through the disciple succession. And therefore one has to accept, if we want to make actual spiritual advancement, we have to accept such a representative with full surrender. And therefore, then Prabhupada says, satisfaction of the self-realized soul is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. Lying, following, and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. The spiritual master by nature is very kind to the disciple. And therefore, when the disciple is always, one should be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses him with general spiritual knowledge. The spiritual master is by nature very kind to the disciple. And when the spiritual master sees that the disciple is always bona fide spiritual master by nature very kind to the disciple. Therefore, when the disciple is submissive and always ready to render service, reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. Yes?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. You know, yesterday you were saying that we cannot satisfy everybody. And I was meditating over this, and then it came in my mind that Krishna is satisfied when we are satisfying his devotees.
Then
everybody is thinking of themselves that they are Krishna's devotees, and here's come some.
No, we have to satisfy Krishna, and to find out what's going to satisfy Krishna, we can find out from his devotees who are telling us how to satisfy Krishna. But they have to be in line with Guru Sadhana Shastra, because Krishna is in our heart. So he can tell us if someone If we study Shastra, then we'll know whether or not the person who's giving us instructions is actually in line with Sadhu and Guru. So it's not that I satisfy all the devotees. I mean, we can serve prasadam to all the devotees. So that's cooperation. But as far as instructions, how to serve prasadam, and, you know, what the etiquette is, etc., that may, the subtleties have to come from instructions. So not everyone is equally qualified to give those instructions, otherwise you become bewildered. Someone will tell you, you know, serve to the Brahmins first, other one will tell you serve to the children first, and you become bewildered. So you have to find out who your authorities are, so that it's clear, you know, who's actually, you know, who to follow. Yes? Otherwise, every devotee has their opinion nowadays also.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. My question is relating to today's appearance day of Lord Balaram. Like,
we'll have a talk this evening about Lord Balaram. So if you came, you'll hear about Lord Balaram this evening.
Jai. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
We didn't forget Lord Balaram. Anything else? Did you have your hand up?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.